proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Hi there, friends. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Okay, got some, this comes to you late, because I think they only have two more weeks of baseball. But Wednesday, by the way, this is all live and local, 884-9910. Wednesday, I went to the Aces game, and I made quite the discovery. I almost don't want to give it away. I don't want to give away the secret, because... Don't hurt me, but I don't want it crowded. That's not serving the public, so I'll tell you. But you know, you locals, giving away our secret special places have made it very difficult, near impossible, to go to the Atlantis Napa Sonoma Happy Hour or to dinner at Western Village Steakhouse. And God ticks me off, but, you know, it's my job to inform you stuff, and especially the good stuff. So here it is. The evening on Wednesday, it started with a terrible mistake. I am awful when it comes to picking the right seats. And I'm looking at the stadium map online, and I notice some very, very good Aces seats right there on the field in section 101. Stop laughing. I didn't know. But we go in there, and in our face, after sitting down, oh yeah, it was right up there at the field, but in our face is nothing but grass, no players, they're way over there, the ball never approached where we were sitting, and there was like only two other couples in this vast section to nowhere. Why would they even have this section 101? So I realized I messed up big time. And so what I do when I mess up, I compliment these terrible seats to make my wife feel better about it. Look, honey, there's no kids around us. It's so peaceful here. Well, folks, she was not having any of it. And these seats were so bad. You know, we brought along a single friend of ours. And after 10 minutes, he left it up to me to pick the seats for all three of us. After 10 minutes, this friend of ours, he decides to go up above the seats and just stand and watch the game from the walkway where all the refreshments are. So, you know, for Kathy, the only thing I could do was scan the stadium and see which seat we could steal. And I don't know if you noticed, but stealing seats at the Aces game is very, very difficult. At the top of every aisle, going from the seats to the concession stands, are these old serious guys. I'm guessing the way they act, I'm guessing retired Army or, you know, Marine officers up there wearing these blue jackets. One for every single entrance row to the seats, all lined up, and they're looking at everybody. And if one isn't looking at you, the other two who are nearby are looking at you, always watching. But desperate times call for desperate measures. So just like the POWs, you know, escaping from the German camps in the movies, I grabbed her hand and I said, three aisles up, all the way to the right, let's go. And we crouched and we jogged over and grabbed these two seats going from section 101 to 102. And so we were almost at right there at third base. Done. Well, then I go up to tell our friend where we are. And he says, well, I found something better. There's this place called the Porsche Club. It's up the metal stairs by the main entrance. And he went up there. And he walked in and asked questions, and he told me that it is quite the well-heeled private club with VIP members. Now, this upper level at Aces Stadium, you know, when the stadium first opened on their first season, That second level was pretty swank. You know, they had Bugsy's restaurant, and I remember this awesome nightclub. They had games like beanbag toss set up on the second level upstairs patio. So the Porsche Club, I'm thinking, must be one of these former places that aren't there anymore. They turned it into a private club. They have their own big bar set up. They have a food buffet, and the seats are right up over third base on a balcony, kind of like the VIP boxes at the stadium, only much bigger, and it's set up like a restaurant to nightclub. And he goes, they told me that when the fourth inning is over, they allow in the general admission folks, you know, the riffraff. You can come in for just $10, and the drinks and the food are all on the house. I said, I don't own a Porsche. I have a GMC truck. He says it's for everybody. So I thought this was too good to be true. You know, how come I never even heard about this? But sure enough, after the fourth inning, we walk in at the start of the fifth inning, paid our $10. I got some excellent potato salad and the rib tips, and I sat right there on the balcony, just like Elon Musk would get to do. It wasn't all perfect because behind us was this group of very loud guys who were deep in their beers, and they're all yelling at the top of their lungs these insults at the Chihuahua players. You know, the other team was from El Paso, and they look at me, and they swore that I was Joe Hart, and all through the game, you're Joe Hart! Joe! Now, you know, a more mischievous John Potter would have said, that's me. Why don't you guys order some real drinks and tell them to bill Joe Hart at Channel 4? Right. I was tempted, but, you know, then I thought, you know, one of the guys is going to realize I'm not Joe Hart, and they all seem like they would not take that well in their condition. So I finally said, no, I'm John Potter. I used to be on Channel 2. And the crestfallen look on these guys' faces, like I had insulted their grandma. Anyway, I got to talking with them. They all came to see this game from Fallon. And as we were finally leaving, one of their guys, he's coming back into the balcony with an armful of six more beers. Not quite Porsche Club. See, but I'm not very Porsche either. But that's a tip, okay? So I'm going to another game. I think it's Thursday of next week or the Thursday after, and I'm gonna do it again. Wow, that's good potato salad. I had no idea. I would have been there all the time with these games. Speaking of my decrepit age, and I do that a lot, don't I? And this isn't an email, but somebody asked me in one of my coffee shops that I go to, and I go to it often. It's like I replaced my former Channel 2 duties in the morning with chit-chatting and telling funny stories at coffee shops. I just moved the location of it all. But the table next to me brought a Reno newcomer with them for coffee, and we're talking, and she says, John, Trudy here is a newcomer to Reno. What was it like in Reno when you came here long ago? Yeah, thanks for that long ago. I told Trudy, we did have electricity. We had our downtown sidewalks full of folks, well-dressed in Western wear, American flags. There were free nickels everywhere. Live music coming out of casino front doors, which never closed, 24 hours, with air curtains, not doors. The presidential car at the top of Harold's Club and the 24-hour Chinese restaurant on the mezzanine of Harold's. Down the roads, Smorgies, Flaky Jakes, Shakey's, and Straw Hat Pizza in Sparks. Waitresses in orange miniskirts at the Peppermill. All of us at KCBN, we collected rows of drink tokes that were free from the Calneva, just for hanging around. Or usually when you play, they'd always give you these drink tokes and the downtown gold dust and the nugget. And we collect all these drink tokes, little plastic coins in cigar boxes, You know, most of them collected from cashing our paychecks, too, there. They give them to you free. Constantly passing by the waiver. And Bill Cosby smoking a cigar, driving Bill Harris Rolls. Shopping at Gemco in Ardennes. Browsing for hours at Mirabelli's. Musicians, we enjoyed the Reno regulars. There was Glenn Little, Zella Lair at the Riverside, Gary and Sandy at the MGM, Cedro's Armada, dancing at Bahama Mama's Disco on Moana Lakeside, Del Mar Station, the Grand Ballroom on Grove. There was the CBS Dance Floor off South Virginia, and Rod's Shy Clown. And remember when there was nothing west of North McCarran? Not even McQueen. McCarran itself went from Virginia to Pyramid, I think, and when 395 was extended from Plum to Moana, it was a very big deal. So this is for the benefit of my kind younger listeners. Take pictures of the places you live and the places you work. I've lived in a number of homes, and I worked at a variety of jobs, and I wish I had just gone around and taken photos of the past apartments and, you know, this past house that I owned, and so I would have a record of how it looked in that moment in time. You know, the plants and the furniture that I had, how the kitchen looked when I came in for my morning routine, at work, the equipment I ran every day and got to know so well, the lobby, the view from my office window. They're not photos that I would have wanted to look at the time, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But now, when I've forgotten about all those things, the details that were mundane, but at the time were a huge part of me, the things that were so important then in my daily life, I feel a bit of remorse around not keeping a journal, you know, a record of my days. I kept one as a kid. But in college, I made the mistake of reading one of those notebooks from my youth, and it was too soon. I was so embarrassed at my young self's hopes and concerns and insights that I took the diaries and I threw them in the dumpster behind my dorm. And I so regret that. How stupid. How, you know, ever since, any effort to keep a journal has felt doomed because of that. It wasn't the same. I started and stopped. It just didn't come out the, you know, as it would if 12-year-old innocent me had written it. You just can't recreate it. All right, I've gone on way too long here. It's 10:08.
I'm going to cut you off for just a second. Yeah. As you're reminiscing about that, I'm reminded of a book by Don Dondero.
Oh yeah,
Dateline Reno. It's it's in paperback form, but it's got tons and tons of images from that time you're talking about. And then I think, I don't know if it's Marilyn put out a book.
Marilyn Newton. Yeah.
Yeah,
she did. She did put out a book.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you're interested in the history of Reno, Sparks, Northern Nevada, they're the two that I would look to for photographs of the area.
Well, I actually made Trudy mad that she missed it all, the way I was describing it.
I can imagine.
I do. I have that effect on people.
Yeah, well, we all have that effect. Well, okay. I was going to say we all have that effect, but I had to correct myself because I know we didn't. Now, I do have one correction to make, or
yes,
one missing. We have another sponsor for our debate night on Tuesday night. It's A&H Insurance. Experience superior service, coverage, and savings since 1957, A&H Insurance in Minden, Nevada. Call 775-267-9947.
A&H is on Virginia Reno.
And they've got an A&H in Minden. They're they're our sponsor.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's great. I love A&H Insurance. Those guys are great. When I was at Channel 2 and we had to do a story, like assign me a story on insurance, no insurance office company would talk to me in town except for A&H. They have nothing to hide. They're great people and super. Oh, I love that they're a sponsor here. And I didn't know they were in Minden, too. That's great news. Okay. Going to take a break. It's 10:20. I'm John Potter with Craig in Carson City on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Our phone number 884-9910. FM News Talk time is 10:21.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
John Potter, live and local, 10:24 is our time. Yes, 50 years in broadcasting. Can't you tell? That's big for me. This is the week 50 years ago today. I first was paid for being on the radio. 884-9910, not just a call-in number, but also text number. Already got some texts. So, Craig, what did we get today?
Well, there's one here that we were plugging events in Reno and Carson City, and they said, don't forget the camel races in Virginia City happening this weekend. It's the 65th International Camel and Ostrich Races, and it's guaranteed to be crazy. They even have zebras. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I if I had the time, I would go through. There's so much happening on weekends here, especially in the summer. It would take me a whole segment to go through all the events. Sorry to leave that out. It is kind of a big deal out there in Virginia.
So. Well, they've got two more events. The one started at 10 o'clock about 25 minutes ago. Then today at 2 p.m. and then tomorrow at 12 noon, they have another event. So that's a good one.
They used to make us radio and TV people ride the camels.
I remember that. Yes.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. Or they didn't like you.
Well, here's the deal. They had a little kind of media thing where I was up against somebody at Channel 4 and up against somebody at Channel 8, and we each had the camels, and we're standing there. I forget what they wanted us to do with these camels. I don't know, run around the little pen. But everybody started looking at me and laughing, and I didn't know what people were laughing at. The camel was pooping. My camel. And so it was humiliating.
Yeah, they should have held that camel back for the outhouse races.
Just my luck.
Which are coming up, by the way. During Derek Lee's section of the day today, there's a text that came in and says, tell John that's prostate cancer, not pancreatic cancer.
Oh, did I did say pancreatic. Okay, prostate cancer, yes.
Yeah, so.
Which is very prevalent. And my doctor says you're going to get it because more than 50% of men over 60. He had some outrageous number. It really bummed me out for that day.
No, that's, yeah.
And I promptly went to the fast food restaurant.
Now there's
the
next text came from Bruce. And we've had this topic on the air a couple times over the past two and a half years. It says, hi, John. Bruce from Reno here. Why can't the city public works clean up Kitsky Lane and install sidewalks? I know I've called it before, but nothing ever gets done. Such a shame for Reno. And I have part of an answer for that. Because part of Kitsky Lane is unincorporated Washoe County. And Washoe County does not require sidewalks. City of Reno does.
Well, that's a kind of pass the bucket excuse.
It is, but it's true because it happens over on your neck of the woods on Plum Lane as well, on West Plum Lane.
We should go to Washoe County and say, listen, change that because, and I hate to pick on Reno, but I've lived in like 10 different cities, and I've never been in a city that is so lacking in sidewalks. I mean, it's unheard of where I grew up not to have a neighborhood with sidewalks. And as a walker myself, I'm always having to walk into traffic. And that's dangerous.
Yeah,
so people can have an extra couple of feet of their precious lawn. But it's not their fault. It's probably the previous owner who decided not to have a sidewalk because they didn't have to have it.
Well, what gets me is when I'm going down a sidewalk and in my wheelchair, and I come across a telephone pole in the middle of the sidewalk, and I have to go back to the curb cut, else's driveway, go out in the street, go around it, and then get back up on the sidewalk.
All right, right. And then there's the people who, when they do have a sidewalk, but they don't trim the front tree.
Right.
And you have to walk in the street anyway.
Or their hedges. Yeah. Their hedges encroach and push people out into the street.
Yes, I don't like. All right, let's break for Fox News. I don't want to be the griping old man. But it's,
it's
an
not
issue.
Christmas time, John. You can't be the Grinch yet.
884-9910, our number. Oh, we have a guest coming up next, going to tell us all about this fantastic art show. And then later on, we have the Reno Gem and Mineral Society coming on to talk about their big show. So a lot of good stuff, and we'll take open phone lines, open topics at 11:30, because we have a guest from, 10:45. Yeah, 10:45, we'll get back on the local trip here. Our next guest coming up next after Fox News. I'm John Potter. Lots of fun to be had. More tips, no more gripes. So stick around. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 10:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday 9 to noon. We have a very big show coming up, the International Sierra Nevada Art Show and Sale. Look at this huge, fancy booklet. Anybody can buy this amazing art. I have in the studio with me Joe Balazzo. I'm reading your bio, Joe. It's in here. Joe considers his ability a God-given talent. Me too, actually. I have that in my bio.
Right on.
One that he doesn't take for granted. Joe says it's a blessing and privilege to be able to render images and give the glory to God. His delicate yet intricate lines and his attention to detail make him a sought-after artist. Welcome, my friend.
Oh,
to the show.
Great to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
And speaking of show, when is this International Sierra Nevada Art Show and Sale?
Next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 14th and 15th.
You're really into the Western thing, aren't you? I'm looking at all your drawings here in this booklet.
You know,
and, all the humans are wearing cowboy hats. That tells me right off. And you're from the West yourself.
Yeah.
And you are just blown away, it says here, by the scenery. And that's how inspires you to do your drawings in both pen and ink, charcoal, mixed media. And the line drawings are like, the lines are so close together. It's like a photograph, your work.
It gets pretty tight sometimes, yeah. That pen and ink really draws to, no pun intended, the photographic look of my work.
And you brought a piece that you did that were given away on this segment.
And, yes.
Well, that's very generous of you. How could you describe it? What is it?
So the piece comes from... The image comes from my head, but I use photographs to render.
Okay.
So the image, if we want to get real technical,
mm-hmm.
the background is a cathedral in Los Angeles off of Lancashire in North Hollywood area. And the burrow comes from a burrow that lives up in Carson City.
Now, is this cathedral current day?
Correct. Yes.
Because I'm looking at it, it looked like old West Nevada to me.
It does, it does.
And you put a horse and a person, of course, cowboy hat, in front of the cathedral.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't see that in North Hollywood, would
Not
you?
Not too much. Not
so
too much.
It just made you think of some cowboy with a horse, or is it cowgirl there?
That's actually... the cowboy is inside the cathedral, and it's just the burro that's sitting out there.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see it. Okay, it's behind me, folks. Okay, so we're giving that away. You framed it, too.
Framed up, yep. I don't like to give stuff away that's not framed up.
You know? Now, your works, you sell them. I'm looking at this one piece here, $3,500 for your pen and ink drawing Love Bite. 38. I hate to. I don't mean to talk prices with you.
Uh-huh.
There's a $3,800 charcoal rendering of a cowgirl in front of a rising moon. It looks like this is outstanding stuff. So this one we're giving away on this segment. What would you say that's worth?
That is a limited edition print, and my limited edition prints are very limited. There's only 25. So the value goes up when there's not a whole lot of edition. So that is, the value on that is $350.
Well, that's very nice, Joe. Framed and everything. Are there collectors, you know, I mean, speaking from an artist, are there art collectors that we have in this area who actually profit from their purchases that see the values go up? Is that a good investment in your mind?
God, you know what, John? I was told 35 years ago when I first started.
Yeah.
Because I was purchasing a couple of prints from a well-known artist at the time. And I was talking to a friend that's in the know, and I said, these should go up in value. And the friend of mine said, don't ever buy art to think you're going to make a dollar on it. Buy it because you can't live without it. And that's the reason to buy artwork. If you walk by this show and you're looking at some pieces, because these aren't prints. These are all original pieces of art. There's one of them, and that's all. So if you're walking by and you think, maybe I'll get that next year. Well, it's probably not going to be there next year.
I get you. And it's a good investment just to keep and not sell, because you see it every day, and it's a beautiful sight to see. Right. So what are you trying to express in all these drawings, that your appreciation for nature or the Old West cowboy way of life?
Mine personally, there's nine of us in the show. Mine personally, I just wanted to, and it was in me. It wasn't something that I thought, I'm going to do Western art because it's going to be more challenging to sell, and I want to do black and white because it's going to be even more challenging to sell. It was in me. That's what God led me to do, and where he had me going with this. But I look at the West, and I see what's going on, and I want to preserve it in a way that I can, and that's through art.
Mm-hmm. Are they all black and white, or do you do some color?
I do. This group of pieces that I put together, they're mostly black and white. I've got one piece that I did.
Oh, you got one that's Rubicon Trail. I can see that's a color. That's nice.
And that's up at the top of Kingsbury Grade on a trail.
I love this Sweethearts one. Cowboy and the cowgirl holding hands.
That is a cool one, and I really, that's near and dear to my heart. I know the couple pretty well, and they just have such a love relationship, and I saw them walking. They didn't know I took the picture, and I let them know afterwards. I said, hey, I'm gonna be doing a drawing of this, so let them know.
I so love the Old West. I watch Gunsmoke every day.
Oh gosh,
yeah. And I watch the same episodes over because they cycle back, even though there's like 700 episodes of Gunsmoke. Oh my gosh, what a classic, best written ever TV show. Anyway, apart from what I'm talking about here, let's give away this amazing drawing that you brought with us. And this is, you brought it to promote the upcoming Sierra Nevada International Art Show and Sale. Get ready, folks. I'll tell you how you can win this drawing in 5 minutes. Craig, we'll have you help out on this, too.
Okay.
In 5 minutes.
Okay. I'm here.
Did we spring this on you?
Nope.
Joe
I was warned. Talking with Joe the other day here in the office of Carson. Okay.
All right. Well, I was surprised. That's very nice. Tell us about what people, and this is open to the public. People going to see and find at the Sierra Nevada International or Invitational Art Show and Sale?
They're going to walk in and see nine of the top rated artists in their field. Four are local and three are out of towners.
Oh.
Yeah, most of them are local. But we specialize in Western, wildlife, and landscape art.
The whole show.
The whole
show focuses on that. I love it. None of this weird stuff.
I don't want to get non-PC. So.
I don't want to hear about the space whale from anybody. No, but this is Nevada art to me, because I came here in 75, I think, and this was art. in Nevada.
Yeah.
And suddenly now people are putting up this weird stuff, and I'm sorry it's not art, but anyway, aside from me. Okay, this is wonderful. Western art, folks. Where's this event going to be held?
It's going to be at the Douglas County Historical Museum.
In Gardnerville?
In Gardnerville.
Yeah.
On 395 there.
That's a great location, and it's a huge building, so you can put a lot of art in that place.
Yeah, and you could wander around, too. They're going to like that if you wander around the museum.
And what's the admission?
Free admission.
Wow.
Everybody's welcome. Yeah. And we have our price structure on all of our art is ranging from, if you're a first-time buyer, you've never bought a piece before, an original piece of artwork, mm-hmm. you could afford something here to start your collection with. Up to, you know, some of the pieces are in the thousands, as you saw, $7,000-$8,000.
Well, some of your works start at, like this one, $350. And there will be, now are the artists going to be there too to talk to?
Yes.
Okay.
And Saturday we're going to have a meet and greet from 10 to 1 at the museum. There'll be three artists, Terry Sweeney, Carl Celiax, who's a bronze artist that's on the cover.
Okay.
And Joe Mancuso will be doing demonstrations there. So live demonstrations. So you'll be able to see their work and how they operate and what they come up with and how they get their images from their head into a completed piece.
So that's next Saturday.
It's next Saturday, yeah.
Okay, and the event goes next Saturday and Sunday.
Correct.
September 14th and 15th. I'm picturing half the artwork is bighorn sheep. Am I right?
There's not a lot, but they're in there.
There's a lot in this booklet. I'm looking at this booklet here. All right, Craig, how shall we give away this awesome drawing that Joe Malazzo brought that he drew himself, valued at $350, framed, beautifully framed too, Joe.
Thank you.
Really nice. How shall we do it?
Well, let's do the first texter. The first one.
First texter.
Yep.
Oh, there we go.
The first person to text in, and then I will pass on the phone number to Joe, who will then contact the winner.
If they
can't, yeah, they have to really want it, too. So, yes, go ahead,
Joe. If they can't come down here to pick it up,
yeah,
that I think Brett was saying that we could probably make arrangements to pick it up at the show.
At the show. You're going to be there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, take it to the show.
Okay.
Our winner is going to pick it up at the show and enjoy the show while they're there. That's perfect.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, next weekend, folks. Saturday and Sunday, the Sierra Nevada Invitational Art Show and Sale at the Carson Valley Museum and Cultural Center right there on 395 in Gardnerville. Joe, awesome getting to know you, my friend.
Great getting to know
true
you too,
true art.
Thank you.
Nothing better than Old West art. I love it. Don't be a stranger, my friend, and thanks for the invite.
I will be back, yeah. I hope you can make it.
Okay. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Phone number 884-9910. Going to do open topic next. It's up to you. It's all live and local on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1047.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. We'll be talking to folks with the Reno Gem and Mineral Society. They have a big show coming up. That's coming up after 11 o'clock this morning. I am so looking forward to that. I love rock hounding, and this is the best day to do it in. This week, for me, got it printed finally. This week for me marks 50 years in broadcasting. Hard to believe the way I sound, right? I took my first paid radio job in my sophomore year of college to help pay my tuition 50 years ago this week. TV and radio have been good to me. Most recently, it allowed me a longevity of 20 years in local TV, which the news industry over recent years would not have allowed a male conservative, but it was great while it lasted. I've been successful in television in a minor league sense. I've been employed a total of these 50 years again at one station for 20 of them. I also worked in broadcasting in Las Vegas, 10 years there, Seattle, and also worked for CBS in Boston. And I believe I could be successful now in TV news, but lately corporate bosses have not shared that view. Someday, somehow, I would like to get back to it. Because in all these years on the air in Nevada, 28 years to be exact, have cemented this state to my heart. It's not work. It's family. It's not a job. It's a duty. And I feel I would die before I would willingly walk away from it. And I recognize that my skills are outdated. I recognize that I don't do things the way they're supposed to be done these days. I am grateful for bosses who have mostly tolerated me and my idiosyncrasies. I am especially grateful for bosses who have protected me from their bosses and from any number of angry people on the phone who have demanded my neck. I recognize that I am a weekend radio host in a small city. This is not the Bay Area. My name isn't Reed Cohen or Steve Paulson, but I consider myself incredibly blessed, and I get up each day happy and grateful. I feel I am still doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that each Saturday I am visiting with family, and I am grateful for this platform. I understand and support the business model and objective of radio, but I'm on a mission every day. In my mind, in my way, I have something I always want to say. And one owner let me use his 50,000-watt transmitter to say it. When you've gone and made speeches all over town like I have, the efficiency of mass media is not lost on you. And I think that my job is to entertain, encourage, inform, and serve listeners, promote the common good, stand for truth, prosper the owners and the advertisers, and tell the occasional dumb joke. Today, I've been doing this show for 2.5 years. I recognize that I've gotten to the age where people tend to get laid off. But by hook or by crook, I think I can get some more years out of it. And I will consider every opportunity a gift. It's work. I don't necessarily love what I do, but I do love the people I do it for. And I love what it can accomplish. I go into work each Saturday morning and talk to my friends about things I believe in. And I can help support my wife and myself while doing it. 50 years in broadcasting is a milestone, but it's a milestone of gratitude. For all that time on the air, I thank God, several bosses, a handful of owners, faithful sponsors, supportive family, and innumerable listeners. And thank you. And God willing, I'll be here for many, many Saturdays from here on out. But it is a sincere pleasure. I know you're waiting for the punchline.
Yep, right
like
now
that.
It's coming. It's coming right now.
That, no, no, no.
I got a text. I caught a text from Jerry Evans. It said,
"Uh-oh,
you're fired."
Okay. That would be funny. It is a joke.
It is
right?
A joke. I think it is, but he just wanted me to make sure I told you where we had witnesses on air.
Well, you know what? He's a great guy, and it's great to be wanted. You know, at my age, it's hard to be wanted. That's just the way it is in this culture. Okay, I'm John Potter. To simplify our world, remember that China hates us and wants to dominate and then destroy us. Write that down somewhere. It's going to be on the test. In an unrelated story, China paid Hunter Biden millions to sit on a board he had no subject matter experience for. That's the hard stuff right there. This is the funny stuff. Your car will never make that noise for the mechanic. Your car is like, that's our special noise. I only make that noise for you. You know, I bought a new Prius once that made this obnoxious plastic rubbing against plastic noise underneath the compartment between the two seats. But only when it hit a certain temperature. It just drove me crazy because plastic changes, you know, when it gets when it gets cold. And also, personally, I hate it when I can't remember my password and I don't know the answer to my secret question. It's like I don't even know me. Oh, wait a minute. Rosebud. Okay, there you go. All right, Craig, are you a rock hound?
No, I'm not, but when I was working at a affiliate radio station in Reno, at the Reno Town Mall, the Reno Gem and Mineral Society would have their show in the mall and take up almost every square inch of it. And I was very impressed with what I was seeing.
Well, this hobby has grown big time because now the jackpot of gems is going to be at the Grand Sierra Resort.
It's so big and it couldn't fit in the mall anymore.
No, no. I think I went to this last year, and it's like they have the entire a convention area there devoted to all these people who collect the most amazing-looking rocks and gems, usually from typically our state. There's a wonderful gem field that Kathy and I go to all the time near Goldfield. You'd think it'd be exhausted, but no, they're still good. Anyway, if you want to start being a rock hound, stick with us because up next after Fox News, we have the Reno Gem and Mineral Society on the show with me. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk on your Saturday morning. FM News Talk Time, 10:58.